We start Bezer Hashem this evening, Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Masechtas Yuma. And what we'll try to do today is get up until the two dots, to really the end of this Gemara, and then we'll take the break for Sukkot. We'll come back after Sukkot and we'll pick up here on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, which continues the Mishnah. The Gemara was discussing a brisa, actually two brises, which seem to contradict each other, and that is, there's a Beis HaKnesses. There's a shul. Can it be susceptible to Tumas Negoim? If a nega, discoloration on the stones of a shul, do you have to bring the kohen down to check it to see if it indeed is a nega? Do you have to take apart the stones just as we have on a house? Or is that only something that applies to a house, does not apply to a shul? And the first brisa that we had, this is back in Yud Aleph on the Beis, that a Beis HaKnesses, so too also a Beis HaShutfin, a Beis HaIsha, is Metamim Minigoyim. The Gemara brought a conflicting brisa, V'atanya, that Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedreshes, is not Metamim Minigoyim, because it says, Uvo Asher Loi Habayis, the Kohen comes to the one who, to him, is a house. Someone has to have specifically belongs to one person as opposed to a shul which belongs to the tzibur. So the Gemara had three answers. I'm back on Yud Aleph on the base, three answers. Loi kasha, first of all, harameya harabonon. One teretz is Rameyer holds that a Beis HaKnesses is always chayiv and mezuzah, even if there's no special living quarters for the shamish. The Chacham said only if there's special living quarters for the shamish, the chayiv and mezuzah. And the Gemara is equating mezuzah to negoim. If it's considered sort of a Beis Dira, a house for mezuzah purposes, it can be considered a Beis Dira for negoim purposes, for tumah. The Chacham say no, only if it has a Beis Dira, and that's the difference in the two brises. The brises that says Metamah Minigoyim is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The brises that says not Metamah Minigoyim is the opinion of the Rabbanon. Then we have another Teretz. Yibay same way he said, Hova HaRabbanon V'leikash, Hod is Beis Dira, the less Beis Dira. One brise was talking about that the shul did have a special room for the shamish, and that's why it was requires a mezuzah, and that's why it's Chayv Minigoyim. The other brice, there was no Beis Dira for the shamish. A third teretz was, both cases we're talking about, both brice are talking about there was no Beis Dira. However, there's two types of shuls, or two different locations of shuls. One was in a krach, and one was in a kfar. One was hard to krach him in big cities. Big cities indeed, we say, it's owned by the general population. Rashi learns it's owned sort of by all those who pass by, and not someone specific. Mashenkein, but in a small community, a small village, a village type shul, everybody who's there is known, you know, all the members of the shul, that's considered sort of miyuchad, those are the bailam of the shul. And therefore can be metame b'nigoyim. That's what we did until now, and now we continued Beis Amud Aleph, the top line. Are you suggesting, the Gemara says, that a shul in a big city will not be mitamei b'negoim? It's not susceptible to this tumas negoim. V'hatanya, we learned in a braisa. Another braisa we bring. It says, achuz aschem. We quoted this pasuk before. When you come into the Eretz Yisrael, and you find a nega, beveis Eretz achuz aschem. In the house of Eretz achuz aschem, a house that's in the land of the land that you inherited. Achuz aschem, it was your inheritance. Achuz aschem mitamah minigoyim. Only those places that were given to you to have a portion in Eretz Yisrael, that's mitamah minigoyim. But ve'en Yerushalayim mitamah minigoyim. Yerushalayim is not susceptible to this tumas negoim. Why? And Rashi is quick to point out, which really the Gemara is going to explain in a few lines. Rashi holds that ein achuz alohem. Yerushalayim does not belong to any one particular shevet, any one particular Jew. Who does it belong to? All the Jews equally. This opinion is, this mandamar is the opinion, this brisa is the opinion that, as the Gemara will explain, that Yerushalayim was leineschalkel l'shvatim, was not divided up amongst all, the Shomron was divided up, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael, but not Yerushalayim proper. That was not divided up. Now, there is another opinion, as we'll see. Who was Yerushalayim? Who belonged? Who did Yerushalayim belong to? Yehuda and Binyamin, as we know. But there's one opinion here, as we see, that holds no, Yerushalayim was for everyone. Rashi points out why, because when David HaMelech bought the place for the Beis HaMikdash, he bought it from Aravna Yevusi, he collected money from all the Shvatim. So therefore everybody had a stake in that. Everybody had an ownership in that. So therefore there is an opinion here, that Einu Shalayim Metamanagon. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, we're not finished the question yet. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Ani Loi Shamati Elamokoi Mikdash Bolvad. I only heard it's only the actual place of the Mikdash. Like we just quoted from Rashi, because David HaMelech only bought the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the Beis HaMikdash for all the Shvatim. But Yerushalayim, the surrounding area, that indeed could be split up. So what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda? Only the Beis HaMikdash is not Metamin Benigoyim. Habate can exist a bunch of Midrashes. Metamin. But any shul that would be, any Beis Medrash that would be in Yerushalayim, and even though Yerushalayim can be considered a krach, a big city, you see it's Metamin Benigoyim. So why are you telling me that we distinguish big city shuls from small city shuls? Here you see Abba Raisa that a big city shul, namely the shuls in Yerushalayim, would be Metamin Benigoyim. Says the Gemara, you have to change the wording a little bit. Again, what was the question? Habadin, he said, but Rashi Metamim, you go, even though they're big cities. Emo, you have to say, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Ani lo shamati ala mokoy mikudosh bulva. Not mokoy mikdosh, meaning the actual Beis HaMikdash, but rather mokoy mikudosh, a holy place. And a holy place includes not only Beis HaMikdosh, but even Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash. What we call, and this is the Gemara supporting this idea, we call a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash, we call it a Mikdosh Ma'at.
Mikdosh Katan?
Mikdosh Katan, Mikdosh Ma'at. It's a miniature sanctuary. It resembles the Beis HaMikdash in a sense. In other words, it does something to the Beis HaMikdash, you can feel the presence of Hashem more. So too in a Mikdosh Ma'at, you could also sense that as well. So that it takes care of that question. Now, b'maika miflegi, what is the machlokes over here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon? Rabbi Yehuda says, I only heard just the
Mikdash.
The Beis HaMikdash, or the Batei Knesiyos, but all of Yerushalayim could be Metamei Benigoyim. And yet the Chachamim hold, Ein Yerushalayim Metamei Benigoyim. What's the Machlokes? Like we said before. Tana Kama Sova, the Chachamim hold, Yerushalayim Lo Neschalko L'Shvatim. Yerushalayim did not belong to any particular Shevet. It was not divided up between Yehuda and Binyamin. Rather, it belonged equally to all the Shvatim. And therefore, it's not considered achuzaschem, a place that you can live in and you get a hold on it. Rather, it's to everyone. Rabbi Yehuda Savi, Yerushalayim Nischalkol Shvatim. No, Yerushalayim indeed was divided up to all the Shvatim. What's their machloek is based on? Uveplugta dahani tanoi, and they're really arguing a machloek is of other tanoim. The sign you learned in Ebraisa. Mahoye Bechelko Yishel Yehuda. What was in the portion of Yehuda? So the Gemara delineates. The Harabayis belonged to him, Halishkais, all of the chambers, V'ha'azorais, and the big meeting places in Yerushalayim. And if you hear, the Gemara doesn't have a picture, but this Gemara has brought other places in Zvachim. One place is in Zvachim, and in Gimel Amid Beis, and over there Rashi did make a little picture for us.
Well, here's a bit,
you have a good picture. Okay, let's see your picture.
That's a picture.
Let's see your picture. So you have a picture of the just a sketch of the. That's for the next thing. Basically everything that from the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, and you have the Azara. That's the big Azara, Ezras Noshim. Then you have the middle one. It's called the Ezras Yisrael, even regular Israel Mago. And then you have the place in between the Ezras Yisrael and the Mizbeach was where the Kohanim alone can go. And over there was all the way here was
Yehuda.
This is Yehuda. Starting from the Mizbeach and forward through the next part of the Azara, through the Ulam, that's this, the Ulam, that's the chamber in front of the Heichel, then the Heichel itself with the three Kelim, the Arayin, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach, and the Kodesh HaKodashim, all of that was
Binyamin.
So basically, from the west until, including the Mizbeach, was Binyamin. From the east up until the point of the Mizbeach was Yehuda. That belonged to Yehuda. So this opinion holds. Okay, you can take your Gemara back. Thank you. This sheet goes like this. Mahoy again. Bechelke shel Yehuda. What belonged to Yehuda within the Beis Hamikdash? The Harabayis. Halishkais va'azores. That's what we pointed out. The Azores, the Ezras Noshim, the Ezras Yisrael, and then the place where the Kehanim can go up until the Mizbeach. And what was in Binyamin's property? You had the Ulam, and as in terms of rooms, you had the Ulam, that first chamber, the Heichel, and then the sanctuary, and then Ubeis Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies itself. However, Uretzua Heise Yoitza, but there was one strip that went out Mechelkoy Shel Yehuda V'nechneses Lechelkoy Shel Binyamin, and went into the portion of Binyamin. Which strip is this? So here you have a picture of the Mizbeach, and this picture I wanted to show you from Nun Gimel Mizbeis in Zvachim. This is a picture of the Mizbeach. Okay, we said the Mizbeach is the dividing line of where up until the Mizbeach went Yehuda, from the Mizbeach and on went Binyamin. However, not the entire Mizbeach, there was one strip which went most of the south side and most of the east side of the Mizbeach, that's considered the portion of Yehuda. How do you know it's the portion of Yehuda? Because on those two sides, the majority of the southern side and the majority of the east side did not have a yesod, did not have a foundation. In that picture, correct. Okay, it was missing the yesod. Alton will share something fascinating that the Yalkud Ruveni brings in the name of the Zohar about this yesod. Okay, but you have the south side and the east side that did not have a full yesod. It only had one amma's worth of a yesod. So, in other words, the northern side and the western side was fully flushed with a yesod, and that was Binyamin's chelek. A portion of the east and south side of the Mizbeach was no Yesod, and that belonged to Yehuda.
What
was the Yesod? The Yesod foundation, meaning there was just no foundation. The way the Mizbeach was built was they actually made a frame and then they filled it in. And then they made a smaller frame on top, and they filled it in. And then they made a third frame, and they filled it in, like with cement.
Oh.
And they filled it in. And then the koronais, the corners, they did the same thing. So the most outer layer, right, was the yesod, the foundation, and then on top of that went something a little bit smaller. It's like when you build sort of like a pyramid, right, or the skyscraper, go a little bit more in and further in and in. Okay, so this yesod, thank you, here we have a better picture, color picture. The yesod meaning that you had this, what color is this?
Beige.
This beige strip over here, on this side it was full, on this side it was full. However, on this side was only one amma into it, and on this side only one amma into it. So the south side and the east side did not contain the yesod. They did not have that extra foundation, that extra piece. So what the Gemara here is saying is that those extra sides that did not contain the yesod belongs to the portion of Yehuda. Okay. Now this obviously has much a deeper
meaning
to what that means to be in the portion. I mean, no one's going to exactly plant flowers over there. We're talking about the Beis Hamikdash. Who cares? It's this strip, that strip. But yet the Gemara says like this. And it's very appropriate because it's our parasha. It's this Vezeis HaBrocha, which we've been learning this week. And says like this, Ritzua Yisei Yaitzim Echelke Shudim V'Nechnez Lechelke Shem Yamin, and went into Midyamin's portion, Uba Hayim Mizbeach Bonoi, on that place the Mizbeach was built, Binyamin had Tzadik Hayim Mitztayer Oleo. Binyamin was always grieving about this little piece, Levala'o. In the Gemara in Zvachim it says Lenoitla. But Lavala basically means, the Marsha explains over there, Lavala means he wanted to sort of, it should be swallowed up into his own chelek. He didn't even want to miss out on those two strips of the Mizbeach. He really wanted it to him. Another one, he saw Beruach HaKodesh, that he's going to have the Mizbeach, and onward, he said, oh, those two strips have been missing. And he was mitzvah love, and he sort of it pained him, and he Rashi over there explains he was misave, he desired so much that even that strip, the whole Mizbeach, should be in his portion. He longed for that, And because of that, how do we know this was true? Shenema, as it says, Chayfev alav kol ayim, which according to this Gemara, it's explained, Chayfev alav kol ayim, sort of, Rashi says he was like rubbing and pushing, he pined for that to be in his chelek as well. And because of that, Lefikach, Zoche binyamin atzadik, binyamin the tzadik was zoiche, he became the host of Hashem himself. Meaning, in this context, that Binyamin was pining to be able to have that chelik in his that piece of the mizbech in his portion. Between the shoulders, Hashem will rest. Meaning, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he will rest. There's a few questions on this Gemara. One question is that the Gemara in Sota, there's a Gemara in Sota, for those that were here back in the Sota Shir, if you remember, there was a Gemara in Sota, Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph. Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph.
Why are they calling Binyamin Atzadik? Never. Why Binyamin Atzadik?
Very good, very good. We'll maybe give one pshat in a few minutes. It says the Gemara in. In Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph says that there was the following took place at the Yamsuf when the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kishamdu Yisrael al Hayam, when the Jews stood at the bank of the Sea of Reeds, Hoyushvat Menaschem Zezeh, they were battling each other. Ze Omer Ani Yeritchilav Liyam, I want to go first. Vezeim Ani Yeritchilav, I want to go first. Kofatz Shivtei Shel Binyamin, Binyamin jumped first, and Vayered Liyam Tchila. He was the first come, first serve. He got him first. Oh, one second. Shenemar, Shom Binyamin Tsoir Reidem Altik Reidem and Reid Yom. And you know what happened? Sorry, Yehuda Reid Mimaisim. And the people in Yehuda, Shem and Yehuda, were stoning them. Taisvis has a whole mushroom why they're stoning, is not for now. Lefikoch, Zoche Binyamin at Sadik Vinasush Bazikin Likvura, Shenemar Obey Save of Shachain. This is the Gemara in Saita. Frekte Marsha in Zvachim. The Gemara here says a totally different reason. Since he was the first to jump in, and then the water split, so he created that nace for Hashem. Hashem says, "Oh, I have a special feeling towards you. I'm going to rest my Shechina in your portion." And yet our Gemara says, because he longed for the Mizbeach to be totally in his portion. So the Marsha says, must be you have to continue the Gemara and learn like David. That's Remeir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, loy kachoy amaisa, that's not what happened. Elazeh Omer, ani ein ani yerit chilayom. Actually, they said, I'm not going in there first. And the other one said, I'm not going in there first. Nobody wanted to go in first. Till nachshem ani minodov, kofatz nachshem ani minodov, v'yor alayom tchila. Says the Marsha, our Gemara is going with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That the Binyamin did not jump into the Yam first, Yehuda jumped in first, nachshem ani minodov. Based on that, we need a different reason for why Binyamin was Zeiche to have Hashem in his chelek, in his portion.
And but wasn't it written somewhere that it was because Binyamin was the only one that didn't participate in the sale of Yosef?
Ooh, very good. Very good, Dennis. The truth is, if you look at the Sifri and the Medrash in the parasha B'chayfif Elov Kol Ayam Oveich Seif of Shachin, it gives several reasons. Which is not uncommon that you'll have a Gemara will say one reason, the Medrash another reason. You're mentioning one reason because he had nothing to do with the sale of Yosef, indeed. And that's why, very appropriate for the day before Erev Yom HaKippurim, that's why once a year, when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and beseeches Hashem on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael and is asking forgiveness, Hashem says, let me see. Where am I now? Okay, Kaviyachli says, where am I? Whose portion? If it would have been any other the Shvatim, Hashem say, oh, these are the Shvatim, these are the ones who sold Yosef Atzadik, did that to their brother. This way it's Binyamin, Hashem only has good thoughts. It's in Binyamin's portion. That's one reason. Another reason is because he was the youngest of the brothers and he sort of was Meshamish his father the most. He took care of Yaakov. Yaakov was where he was much older and Yaakov leaned on him. Sort of leaned on his shoulder. Hashem says, "Ooh, you took care of your old father and you allowed him to lean on your shoulder, ubank seif of shochein. I'm going to rest in between your shoulders. I'm going to come down, and that's where I'm going to place my arayin. Because that's really what this is talking about. The whole portion belonged to Binyan. Anyway, what did he gain extra to that? So Rashi says he gained the arayin. Shariha arayin nasin mechelkai. Could be the arayin would have been somewhere else before this Gemara. Because he was zeicha, because he longed to have this portion, therefore he was zeicha to have the base, the arayin also put into his portion, which is Kodesh Kodashim. Now, let me tell you something fascinating. Again, the Yalkut Ruveni brings in the Parshas Vayikra in the name of the Zohar. The Mizbeach HaOilo that we just said before, this Mizbeach, we said has four sides. The Tzafain, the north side, and the Marav, the west side, have a full Yisoid. There's a full foundation on both sides. The Doraim, the south side, and the Mizrach, the east side, only has a little bit of a Yisoid sticking in. Right? Everyone saw the diagram here? You cleared just a little bit, right? Butting into each side? Okay. Which Shvatim? If you remember, the Shvatim were on four different sides. When they camped in the Midbar, when they traveled with the Degolim, with the flags, there were three, and three. Mm-hmm. Of the 12 Shvatim, divided up on four sides of three Shvatim apiece. Who was on the south side?
Mm-hmm. Don?
Sorry, not the south side. Let's start with the Marav. Who was in the west side? The west side was Binyamin, Ephraim, and Menashe. What's unique to these three Shvatim?
Yes, I mean,
that none of them were involved in the Mechiras Yosef. Mm-hmm. Ephraim and Menashe were Yosef's sons, and Binyamin was not even born yet. Mm-hmm. This side sort of has nothing to do against having any hatred towards Yosef, a full Yosef.
And it's the closest to the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
The Marav side, correct. Correct, maybe that's also why they were there. So they were not chut to Yosef HaTzadik at all. Who's on the north side? Which three Shvatim? Dan, Asher, Naphtali. What's unique about these three Shvatim, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali? Very good, David. They are all Bnei Ashvachis. And we know Rashi tells us in Barash Vayeshev that who did Yosef hang out with? With the Bnei Ashvachis. Because they said, you know, we understand your plight, we can empathize with you, you're a little bit rejected. He says, Bnei Lay also kick us out that we're second class citizens. So you have done. So they also didn't have a full hatred towards Yosef. You get a full Yosef. Now let's go to the Doraim side. Okay? Doraim had who? Reuven, Shimon, and Gad. Shimon, we knew, hated Yosef tremendously. That's why he locked him up separately. Mm-hmm. Reuven tried to save him, so it's not so bad. And Gad is from the Bnei Ashvachis. So what do they get? A little Yosef. Who's on the Mizrach? Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. Yisachar, Zvulun, both are Bnei Leia, both had a full sinner towards Yosef. But Yehuda tried to save him. Don't kill him. Throw him into the pit. Yehuda, you try to save Yosef, you have a little Yosef. Now. So now we see it makes side, a whole full side only a little bit. But what does Yosef have to do with a Yosef? Because what's Yosef called? Yosef HaTzadik. The Pasuk says, V'tzadik Yosef Olam. Yosef represents Tzidkus, Yosef HaTzadik, V'tzadik Yosef Olam. The Pasuk tells us, a Tzadik is the foundation of the world. And here Hashem wanted to show, you start up with the Tzadik, those who start up with the Tzadik too much, who's the foundation of the world, you're breaking the foundation of the world. In your side, we're going to represent that by you and you're going to be missing part of the Yisayid on your side of the Mizbeach. Brilliant. The Zayar HaKadosh. Let's continue the Gemara.
That's all.
So we have one opinion that says that Yerushalayim was indeed Neschalka L'Shvatim between Yehuda and Binyamin. V'hai Tana, and now the following Tana, which we're going to quote, so by Yerushalayim lo nischalku l'shvatim. We have another opinion that the Yerushalayim was not divided up to the Shvatim. The Sanya, we learned in the Braisa, ein maskirim batim Yerushalayim, that you cannot rent out houses in Yerushalayim. This is not talking about all year round, and before Shem explained the Rishonim and Megillah say, it's talking about when people would come to be oyla regel, from all areas of Eretz Yisrael, they would come up and make an Aliyah L'Regel three times a year, and they would have to rent, for the bit of whole Yontif, right? They have to rent places in Yerushalayim. The Braisa said, you're not allowed to charge rent for a room in Yerushalayim.
Oh, free?
It had to be free. Free. Yeah. Why?
I never heard that. It's only
the most
expensive hotel.
Why?
Expensive.
Here's
the new hotel, the
Ramila. $1,000. Yeah. So, that's for the rest of the year. But on the Sholosh Regalim, you're not allowed to. Why not? Because this, Manda Omer, this opinion holds that Yerushalayim belong to everybody. And therefore you're not allowed to charge. However, says the Gemara, it's not theirs. In other words, anyone who really owned any real estate in Yerushalayim, according to this opinion, you don't really own it. Because nobody can own a portion of Yerushalayim. It belongs to everybody equally. Every Jew owns part of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, but afloy mitos. You're not allowed to even charge for the beds. Even though it's the beds, what I mean, they're my personal furniture, they're movable objects. Can't even charge for that. However, we do try to compensate those who are giving up their homes and renting out their houses. The hides of the animals that people used to bring for their karbonos, the baleish bezichinon, the hosts basically, they would grab them. And that was the minig, that was accepted practice that the people who were hosting, people who came to stay in Yerushalayim, they would take a little bit for compensation. Omer Abaya says this is a good practice. Oirech Ara, it's derech eretz, it's the proper thing to do. Lemishbak inish gulfa umashcha, that a person should leave his gulfa, which is his jug, umashcha, and the hide of his animal, luish pezichei, for his host. In other words, you come and stay by somebody, for example, from this Gemara, you see, from Yuma, Dafyud, Beis, Amar Aleph, you go to some community for a simcha, and someone puts you up in that, right? You bring a gift. You bring a gift. They're not charging you, right? But you bring a gift. Not only in Yerushalayim, Gabbai says, it's a proper derech, it's to bring a gift for the person who you're staying by. That's what the Gemara says. Now we have to, we just explained the two different opinions. about Yerushalayim. So the Gemara now says, we have a few more lines, but are even the shuls of the small villages, is that metame b'negoim? We wanted to say that the krach in big cities, they don't belong to anybody, they're not metame b'negoim. But the smallest villages, those shuls, were metame b'negoim because everybody knew who the owners were. But we see Vahatanya, it says La'achuza, that it says to be that you have as a place that was apportioned to you Ad Sheyich B'Shuaisa, until you capture the land, you conquer it, there's no din of Negoim. Kav Shuaisa, even if you conquer it, V'lechalkul L'Shvatim, but you didn't divide it up yet to the Shvatim, or even Chalkul L'Shvatim, you divided it up, V'lechalkul L'Beis Avos, but you didn't give it out to the families, individual families within that Shevet, or even Chalkul L'Beis Avos, you divide it up to the families within that Shevet, but V'ein Kol Echad Makir Ishaloi, but not everybody knows exactly where he's going to go. Minayin, how do you know that still will not be Matame Menegoyim? Tamaloimar, the Pasuk teaches, U'bo Ashaloi Abayis, the Kohen comes to the one to him is a house. Mishayu miyuchaloi, it has to be designated clearly to him. Yotzeilu, this is to exclude these. She'ein miyuchadin loi, this is not miyuchad to them because they don't know exactly who it is. It wasn't apportioned yet to the Shvatim, wasn't given out to the families, it wasn't divided up to the individuals. So it's not Matame Menegoyim. So in other words, this difference, this chiluk we wanted to make, that big cities are not metame negoim, and kfarim are metame negoim, you see that would not hold true even according to this. Elo, the Gemara says, Machvarta Kiddushanim Eikara. Rather, we go back Kiddushanim Eikara as we answered before. And Rashi explains, what did we answer before? Like the Gemara we started off the this evening from Yud Aleph Amid Beis, that if there is a home for the Shamish in the shul, then you need a mezuzah, and it would be Matana ben Goyim, because that's considered somebody's house, as opposed to if it's a shul without a without any living quarters, then that's considered not owned by anybody. It's not considered a beis dira. It would not be metame b'nigoyim. Let's just
Would they both agree to that? Would Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim both agree to that? Would Rabbi Yehuda agree that if there was a dira, it would need a mezuzah, and it would be metame, and the Chachamim would also agree to that too?
Yes, yeah. Well, Chachamim for sure.
Right.
Ramea was the opinion that said a shul is chai even if it doesn't have a beis dira. Right. Presumably, Rabbi Yehuda, even this Rabbi Yehuda before, would only talk about a regular shul without a beis dira. But had a beis dira, everyone would be in agreement.
That's not
that thing. Yeah. Let's just conclude with something that we spoke out at the first shiur when we started this mesechta. Why is this mesechta called Yuma, or more correctly, Yoma? Yoma is Aramaic for Yom. Why is it called Yoma, a day?
Yom HaKippurim.
So the Masha explained that this Masechta deals with, primarily, Yom HaKippurim. And it's called Yoma, the day. There's one day in the year, it's called the day. Masechta Zu, says the Masha Nikris, Yoma HaShem, Sheyom Kippurim Hu, Yom Echad Kodesh Bashana. Yom HaKippurim is one day, which is the holiest day of the year. The Masechta starts with Shivas Yamim Kodim Yom Kippurim. Why Shivas Yamim? So the Masha explains, because Shiva is the number which represents Kedusha, just like the seventh day of the week is Shabbos Yom HaShvi. So to Yom Kippurim is the seventh. What's the seventh of? He says it's the seventh of the Yomim Tovim. There are six Yomim Tovim. You have Rosh Hashanah is one day, Minat Torah, 2 days of Sukkis, right? When you Sukkis and Shmini Atzeres, Shnei Yomim Pesach, Rishon and Shvi, right? Yom Echad of Shavuos, 1 day of Shavuos, right? That's six. Those are like the weekdays. Those are the 6 days of weekday compared to the seventh day of Shabbos, which is Yom HaKippurim. How do you see it's Shabbos? Because 6 days a week you could work. Shabbos, you have to refrain from work. The six Yomim Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkis, you can do some work. You could do Eichel Nefesh, you can cook, right? Yom HaKippurim, you can't. So Yom HaKippurim indeed is called Shabbos Shabbosain. Particularly on this year when it comes out on Shabbos, it's Shabbos Shabbosain indeed in its full meaning. And how else is it applicable to Shabbos? And even in a greater sense, says the Marsha, Shabbos we call Me'ein Olam Haba. It resembles some idea of what Olam Haba will be like. But he says Yom HaKippurim is even more than that. Why? Because Shabbos, even though it's made on Mabot, we still eat and drink. Yom HaKippurim, Ein Bo Elo Achila V'Lo Shtiya, just like Olam Haba will be known that. So we have to keep this in mind. We had mentioned then that as long as we're learning Masechtas Yuma, we're always sort of in a Yom HaKippurim mode. But certainly in this Yom HaKippurim, which will begin Mir Tzashem tomorrow evening, Haba Oleinu L'Teiva, it's Shabbos Shabbosain, it's Yom Kodesh, it's the peak of the year. It's like everything's been leading up to this day. This is the Yom Kodesh. We should be able to utilize it properly, to daven for everything that we need, both for this world and the next. Agud Yom Tov. Gemar Chasima Teva.